How did you break through? How did you break through? You know, we've been talking about breakthrough in the month of May, and we started the series this month by talking about, has God broken through to you? And during that message, I explained that the most important kind of breakthrough you can have in life is when God breaks through to you. A lot of us, sometimes we resist what God wants to do in our lives. So we use the example of Jacob that wrestled with a man all night. But the Bible says something. It says that in the morning, the man said, "Let me go." He did not want to let him go. But all the while, it seemed as if the man wanted to bless him or do something with him, but he wrestled against it. And then about 2 weeks ago, I shared about the barriers to breakthrough. And I classified them into three. I said that there are spiritual barriers that try to stop you from breaking through. We looked at Daniel chapter 10 from verses 12 downwards. That talks about the prince of Persia that tried to stop the answer from getting to Daniel. And then I went on to say that you have external barriers as well. And we looked at Goliath, when Goliath faced the Israelites and was like a resistance. And I explained that sometimes there are some things that come in the physical, but there's a spiritual connotation behind it. So Goliath had a spiritual backing behind him. So it's not everything you see that seems to be a barrier that is physical. And I then went on to talk about the internal barriers as well. And then last week I spoke about the foundations for a breakthrough. And I explained that there are certain foundations that need to be in place or you need. So allowing God to use your boat. I said that's very important when you allow God to use your boat. You are laying a foundation for your breakthrough, amongst other things I mentioned. Obedience, the word, as in revelation. But this morning, I want to take it from another dimension. And if you turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 38, and we'll be looking at verse 29. In the book of Genesis chapter 38, verse 29. Let's read from verse 27. The Bible says in the book of Genesis 38, 27, "Now it came to pass at the time for giving birth that, behold, twins were in our womb." I see somebody here pregnant with destiny. I don't know who I'm talking about here, but there's destiny that you've been carrying for some time. You've been carrying your vision for quite a while. You've been carrying twins. You've been carrying it around for quite a while, and you are pregnant. But listen to me. I pray in the name of Jesus that the time of your breakthrough, I prophesy over your life that the time for you to deliver that vision, the time for you to give birth to that thing God has put on your inside, that the time is now. And I prophesy over your life that you will break through. It will break through in the name of Jesus. I pray over your life that in the mighty name of Jesus, all the things that God has put in your heart to do, that you will do it all in the name of Jesus. A time will come in your life that they will ask you, "How did you break through?" Oh my goodness, I pray over your life that it will astound man. It will astound your family. It will astound your friends. You yourself will not understand how, but you will know that God, it is the God that I serve, that broke through for me. You will say, like David said, that God has broken through on my behalf in the name of Jesus. All the things that you are pregnant with, you will bring it forth in Jesus' name. You will not die in the process. You will not become weary in the process. You will not faint in the process in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, where was I? The Bible says, we are reading the scripture. "Now it came to pass at the time for giving birth that, behold, twins were in her womb. And so it was when she was giving birth that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took a scarlet thread and bound it on his hand, saying, 'This one came out first.'" Verse 29, "Then it happened as he drew back his hand, that his brother came out unexpectedly, and she said, "How did you break through? How did you break through?" They will ask you that question before the end of the year. In the name of Jesus. I said they will ask that question of you this year in the name of Jesus. Our supporting text is taken from Genesis 41, verse 39. Genesis 41, 39. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter 41, verse 39, it says, "Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you.' And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt.'" There's somebody that the Pharaoh has been holding you bound. But the same Pharaoh that has been holding you bound will come forth and you rule over that Pharaoh in the name of Jesus. Get this. You see, Joseph, he slept as a prisoner and woke up as a prime minister. My goodness. Joseph, he, in the twinkle of an eyelid, he became the prime minister. Joseph did not understand what happened. If you were to ask Joseph how it happened, he wouldn't understand. All he knew is that one minute, they called him from the prison that Pharaoh, Pharaoh needs you to interpret a dream. And in the process of interpreting the dream, all he knew was to do what God had called him to do. All he knew was to use the talent, the thing God had put on his inside, to give birth to it. All he knew was to use the skills, the gifting, the spiritual gifting God had given him. All he knew to do was to use that. And based on that, my goodness, based on that, he woke up as the prime minister. The Pharaoh said that, "I have set you," get this, he said, "I have set you over all the land of Egypt." A non-entity. A person that was not trained in the way of the Egyptians. His training was as the steward in Potiphar's house. Because prior to that, it was from the pit that he ended up in Potiphar's house. And the next place he found himself from Potiphar's house was the prison. So he did not have the formal training, he did not have the experience, he did not have the education. Hey, my goodness. But when God decides that it is time for your breakthrough, you don't need the skills. You don't need the experience. You don't need the formal education. You don't need man's approval. All you need is for God to say, "Hey, it is time for you. I am choosing you." Oh my goodness, am I speaking to somebody this morning? Listen to me. You see, I was trying to imagine myself in that setting. I was trying to imagine myself maybe having met Joseph when he was serving Potiphar, some years prior to this. I was trying to imagine meeting him. And then some years later, and I knew that Joseph, he was in prison because Potiphar put him in prison. And I was trying to imagine that, how would I have reacted if I then discovered Joseph all of a sudden as the prime minister? But I'll say, Joseph, is that you? How did you break through? Listen to me. When God gives you a breakthrough, man will not understand it. You yourself will not necessarily understand it. But because the breakthrough is from God, it may not be explainable, but it will be one that will be visible. It will be one that all can see. You know, it's interesting because usually when you meet people that have been where you want to be, when you meet people that have done the things you want to do, when you meet people that are successful in the area of business, ministry, career that you are striving to be successful in, you know, sometimes we go to them and say, how did you do it? You know, one of those things that surprises me a lot of times is that you either get one or two answers. One of them, if they are a Christian, will be something like, we thank God, it is God, which is good. We know it is God. And they're giving glory to God. Or you get another answer, and they try to give you a formula. But you know what I've discovered? God doesn't work by formula. The fact that a formula worked for somebody doesn't mean that the formula will work for you. So they try to work out how they did it, but they don't realize in their understanding or lack of wisdom, or in their finite wisdom or knowledge, that, hey, it was just God that said, it is time for my breakthrough. Am I making sense? Now, let me try to move to my message. I'm trying to get somewhere. You see, when a woman is about to give birth to a child, the delivery of the breakthrough, or of the baby, I beg your pardon, is the breakthrough that happens in her life. You find out that when a woman is about to give birth, what tends to happen? She goes through some process. There are some things that are in place. There are some things that happens to her before that baby comes forth. So there are some things that happens over the course of 9 months. So her body changes. The stomach stretches. They have stretch marks on their body. The hormones are all over the place. You know, it's that time that they'll crave ice cream at 2 o'clock in the midnight. you know, something that will send their husband out anyway. Or suya. Do you know what suya is? You know what suya is? You know, there's no suya in Milton Keynes, so they have to go to London to buy the suya. You know, and you find out that there are changes. There are certain things that have to be in place. The hormones have to change. The sac has to be created in the womb. The umbilical cord has to be created. And you know, various things have to happen. The body changes. And those things have to be in place before the breakthrough can happen. The same way, in our life, there are certain things that need to be in place in order for us to have a breakthrough. Now, those things itself might not be the things that will give us the breakthrough, but they need to be in place, or they are essential, or they are part of the breakthrough itself. And a lot of people, when those things are happening to them, they don't realize that those things are happening and getting them prepared for the breakthrough that is coming. Oh my goodness. Let me try to explain. You see, when you want to bake a cake, there are certain things that need to happen for you to bake a good cake. You need to get the egg, you need to get the flour, you need to get the milk, you need to get the sugar, and you know all the other things that they do. Now, those things have to be in place. Now, the oven has to be at the right temperature. Because if the oven is not at the right temperature, the cake will not set. You know, your life, the right temperature, right atmosphere, and all those things, ingredients, need to be in place in order for the breakthrough to come. And this morning, what I just want to do is I want to share some of the things that may or will have to happen for you to break through. Now, whether it's a breakthrough in your financial situation, or it could be a breakthrough in marriage, or it could be a breakthrough in your spiritual life or ministry, or whatever area or business, you find out that these things will usually have to be in place for you to break through. And each of them starts with a P. I'll just give you 5 And then we'll be done and we can go and have our lunch. Hallelujah. The first thing that you need to be in place for your breakthrough is you need partners. You need partners in life in order to break through. You need partners in order to break through in life. Get this. Nobody exists as an island. Nobody can achieve much on their own. Everybody needs a partner. And you see, I was saying earlier, when God sets you in a family, He gives the person next to you or puts all the things or gives you the person around you that will assist you to break through. So when God brings you to a church like this, what's happening? God has set you in a family, a spiritual family, a church family. The skills that you need for your breakthrough are on somebody that is sitting beside you. Somebody beside you has the skills, has the talent, has the resources that you need. Get this. The challenge, a lot of people, they make the mistake because once they are going through a challenge or once they need to break through in a certain area, a lot of times people want to do it on their own. And you see, doing it on your own will take longer if you survive it. A lot of people want to be like Rambo. You know, Rambo does not exist in real life. Rambo is in the figment of the imagination of the director. In real life, if there was a Rambo, he would be dead within the first 30 minutes, taking on the whole army. Rambo would be dead. And you see, a lot of people want to be like Rambo. And you know, we go under the guise, these guys of saying that, I don't want to inconvenience anyone. I don't want people to know what's happening in my life. This is how I've always been. I'm a quiet person. But get this. In order to break through in life, you need partners. listen to me. You see, when a woman, in order for a woman to become pregnant, she needs a man. I have never seen a woman that has become pregnant without a man. Okay, for those that will try to argue with me, they will say you don't need a man, all you need is a sperm. You still need a man's sperm. So you need the man. The scientists have not discovered how they can get a woman pregnant without the man. So they can't get rid of the man. We are here to stay. But a woman needs a partner. The same way, in order to give birth, usually you have midwife. What's the midwife? The role of the midwife? The role of the midwife is to be a birthing partner, to help to break forth, to bring forth that child. Now, what does a partner do? A partner, the midwife does what? During the labor, the midwife encourages, you are doing well, oh, you are pushing well, I can see the health of the baby, oh, the shoulders are out, oh, you are 10 centimeters, you can tell from experience, you are 10 centimeters dilated. And you know, so they are encouraging during the breakthrough process. And then at times, they rebuke. They say, stop pushing. You're not meant to push now. Relax. Just take it easy. At times, they just coax. At times, they just hold the hand as a sum of comfort. So that the partner serves those roles. The partner helps to lift you up when you are down. The partner prays along with you. The partner advises. The partner encourages, lifts you up. But you see, a lot of people, they come into the church and go out and do not realize that somebody here is meant to be their partner. Now, I don't mean partner in terms of opposite sex. I mean partner in the birthing process for your breakthrough. In the book of Luke chapter 5, verse 4, the Bible says something. The Bible says that Peter had fished all night.
So he had been toiling all night and caught nothing. But the Bible says Jesus came along and decided that he wanted to use his boat. Now, he decided to become Peter's partner. And listen to me, when Jesus came alongside Peter, all he did was, hey, I have the word that will give you the breakthrough. He just gave him the word that provided the breakthrough Peter needed. And he said, cast your net into the deep. Or let down your net into the deep for a great catch. And what happened? The minute they did that, they caught what they had been toiling all night for. Jesus came alongside Peter as a betting partner for his breakthrough. Get this. In verse 7 later on, when they caught a lot of fish, and the Bible says their net was breaking, and they put it in their boat, it says their boat was sinking. What did they do? They called their partners and said, come and help us. Can you put it up? Luke 5, 7. They said, come and help. Notice what they said. They said, come, I need help. I'm sinking. Sometimes people are too proud to say, help, I'm sinking. And listen to me. There's no way you break free in life if you don't have partners. There's no way. You cannot do it on your own. They said, come. Get this. At some stage in the birthing process, in breaking through, you will need the assistance of your partners. Luke 5, 7. At some point, you need the assistance of your partners. You see, you find that, don't worry about it if you can find it. In the book of 2 Samuel chapter 21, verses 15 to 17, the Bible says something. The Bible says that David, from verse 15, it says something. It says that David that was fighting against the Philistines, that they were in battle against the Philistines. And then it says he grew faint. Now, you need to understand this. David was a warrior. You know, I tried to search through the Bible, and I was looking for a place where David lost a battle. And so far, I have not found one. At the moment, I haven't found one. If you know one, please let me know. But at the moment, I have not found a place where David lost a battle. David that killed Goliath. You know, David was such a warrior, was adept at fighting, that God said, because you're a warrior, don't build a house for me. Now, listen to me. In fact, the closest that I would say David came to losing the battle was probably when they came to carry his wife and children. And he wasn't fighting at that, he was fighting somebody else. If he had been around, they wouldn't have done that. And the Bible says he pursued them and recovered all. Am I making sense? Now, I'm trying to paint a picture. So David was good. He was a warrior. Now, in the book of 2 Samuel 21, verse 15, it says something. It says the Philistines were at war again with Israel. And David went down, as he used to, with his servants to fight. But listen to this. It says David waxed faint. What does that mean? It says he became weary. He grew faint in battle. Now, the same David, no matter how good you are, how strong you are, a time will come when you become tired. No matter how much you pray, a time will come when you don't feel like praying. No matter how experienced you are doing a certain things, or how determined you are to break through, a time will come when you get tired. That's normal. But listen to me. Look at what happened. In verse 16, it says something. It says that Abishai came to his rescue. He says, Ishbi Ben Ob wanted to kill him, one of the sons of the giants, wanted to kill him. But notice what happened. It was Abishai, one of the people he raised, one of his men, that came to his rescue and killed the giant. If David had not raised Abishai, or if Abishai had not come alongside David as a partner at that point in time, David would have been killed. He probably would have died. When you don't have partners, you are putting your life at risk. Listen to me. Let me give you the kind of partners you don't need. You need spiritual partners. Very important. A lot of people don't have spiritual partners, people that they pray with, people that they share spiritual things with. You need spiritual partners. Because you, at some stage, you become spiritually weary. And those are the times that people are they are most vulnerable. And you know, sometimes when you hear about people that fall or backslide, it's not that they plan to. People that fall to fornication and adultery, it's not that they plan to, especially people that have been strong Christians and strong in the Lord. Sometimes it's just a case that at that point in time, they were weak and they did not have anybody pray for them or that they are praying with or that they can talk to. Am I making sense this morning? Let me move on quickly. The Bible talks about Joseph. Joseph was in prison. And he was in prison for about 2 years. Well, 2 years after he interpreted the dreams. We don't know how long exactly. But get this. Joseph would have remained in prison if the chief butler had not recommended him to Pharaoh. At that stage, the chief butler became the birthing partner for Joseph's dreams. Because Pharaoh would never have heard of him, he would have remained in prison for only God knows how long. Now, when we talk about partners, sometimes partners are also destiny helpers or referred to as destiny helpers. People that will help you to move closer or break through to where God is taking you to. You need destiny helpers. And they come in various shapes, they come in various forms. They come in various sizes. But you need destiny helpers. You know, one of the things that we pray a lot, myself and my wife, and we tend to pray it in church as well, is destiny helpers. And people who are meant to be destiny helpers in their life. They are key. There are some places you cannot go to if you don't have a partner beside you. There are some places you cannot get to. You need partners for your breakthrough. That's the first P. Second P. So I'm talking about the things that will likely to be in place for you to break through in life, for you to break through into where God is calling you to, for you to fulfill your destiny, for you to break through in the place of your career. The second thing, the second P, is process. A lot of people don't understand process. So most of the time, we want to bypass the process. We want to bypass what we are going through and we want our breakthrough in life. Let me use an example. Somebody that starts a business, before they can make it in business, there's a process that business usually goes through. Usually, when you start a business, there's a process. You need to spend a lot of time on the business. You are working for the business before it gets to the state that the business is working for you. There's a process, usually. And you see, a lot of people want to bypass the process and get to that breakthrough. But we need to understand that the process is as important as the end product. So what do I mean by that? You see, if you don't go through the process and you get to the end product is in danger of being aborted or not sustainable. Let me explain what I mean. Imagine a woman that is pregnant and after 3 months goes to her doctor and says, "Can you remove this baby, cesarean? I want the baby now." That baby is not likely to survive. It's more at danger of surviving. Why? Because the process, listen to me, during the 9 months, there's a process that is happening. The body is changing. The hands of the baby are being formed. The lungs are being formed. The legs are being formed. The whole process is happening during those 9 months. But if the lady, if the mother decides that, hey, I don't want to go through this whole process of carrying a child, something heavy for 9 months. I know I'm pregnant. I know the end product. Bring it out in 3 months' time. What will happen? The probability of that child surviving is very low. Am I making sense? The process is part of the breakthrough. You see, the same way, the process you go through normally changes you for where you're going to. When you go through a process, what's happening is it is getting you ready, preparing you for where God is taking you to. And a lot of people don't understand. So when they are going through the process, they get impatient. When we are going through the process, we murmur. We don't understand the purpose for the process. I know about God, something we need to understand God, is that what we need is not difficult for God to do. Whatever it is, whatever you need is not difficult for God to do. Whether it is a business idea, whether it's your ministry, whatever it is, whether it's a baby you need that you are believing God for, it is not difficult for God to do. God can give it to you in the twinkle of an eyelid. However, God is more interested in developing you during that process than in the end product. That's why sometimes when you meet people that, you know, that just stumble into money without going through the process, they lose it. I mean, it's been said that people that win the lottery and become millionaires, within 5 years, they lose it all. It wrecks their marriages, wrecks their family. Why? Because they didn't go through the process. Am I making sense? God is more interested in developing your character. You see, the process develops certain things in you. It develops your character. During the process, God is getting you grounded. He's teaching you how to trust in Him. He's teaching you that, hey, appreciate the people. Listen to me. When we first started this church, I remember I wrote down the plans, the goals for the next 5 years or thereabouts. And then I said within the first year of us starting that we'll have, I think, maybe 200 or 300 people in the church. We'll do this, we'll do that. If that had happened, I would not have appreciated the members of the church. Each person would just have been a statistic. But now I appreciate each person for who they are. They are not a statistic or statistic. They are a person with a character. There's more appreciation of each person's contribution. There's more appreciation that, hey, they are even coming here on a Sunday to listen to me. Am I making sense? Whereas if so many people had landed on the first day, and sometimes God does it in some people's words of the ministry, so I'm not saying that doesn't happen. But if that happened, I probably would have become, hey, I'm a kingpin. And yet, it's true. That's why sometimes, you know, with our children, I guess for most people with their children, it is not everything your child asks for that you give to them, even though you can afford it. And sometimes, even though you want to give it to them, you want them to appreciate. So sometimes you make them work for it. Yeah. Because if every time they ask, you give, they would not have gone through the process. My goodness, am I making sense? You see, Joseph, he went through the process. He went through a process before he got his breakthrough. What was the process? He went from his father's house, being his father's favorite, to the pit. He went from the pit to being insignificant. And he went to Potiphar's house. From being the chief steward, taking care of the Potiphar's house, back to prison as prisoner number 5779. And then from there, He went to the palace. Now, listen to me. Every stage, every phase of that process, I'm certain, developed something in him that he required for the palace. Every stage of the process was preparing him for the palace. Every phase that he went through was developing his character. He probably was developing his skills. He was developing certain things in him that would get him grounded. You know, I was saying earlier, I said that if I wonder, and this is me wondering, I wonder if Joseph had ended up in the palace without going through the process. I wonder that when he met his brothers afterwards, maybe he would have killed them. But he went through the process. And by the time he went through the process in Genesis 50, from verses 15 to 21, you know, when his father died, and the brothers were scared that he would kill them, he said something. He said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." He understood that, hey, everything I went through, it was part of the process. You know, as the Bible says, everything works together for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. It's part of the process. Turn to the person next to you. Tell them it's part of the process. You see, the process develops you. A lot of people, if they don't go through the process, they will be proud. A lot of people, if they don't go through a process, arrogance will be stinking out of them. Some people won't be able to say hello to them. That's the truth. But because they've gone through the process has shaped. Do you know what the process does? It molds you. It shapes you. The process makes you realize that, hey, if not for God, God. The process. I went through the process. Some years back, when I qualified as an accountant, I started my MBA. You know, I had lofty dreams and ambitions and all that. And my whole trust, not visibly, but was that, hey, I've got all the skills I need to make it in life. And I felt nothing could stop me from getting to the top. That based on the skills, based on my degree, based on all the things I had, experience. But man, when I went through the process, I said, God, okay, whatever you want. I went through the process. The skills, if you had met me then, if I introduce myself, I would say I'm a fellow of ACCA and an MBA holder and a qualified accountant. No, I don't. I never used to do that. But I probably have all that on my card. Have you met people that will put engineer, blah, blah, blah? That's their title. No, not Mr. Engineer, accountant. Actually, that's a tradition in our country. I don't understand why they do that, but architects, housewife. Somebody said, it was someone that said. Hallelujah. Let me move on quickly. You know, David went through the process. David went from Adullam. You know, David was anointed at a very, very early age. But he did not become king until he was 30. What happened during that period? He went through a process. He went to Adullam. In Adullam, men came to him. People that were discontented. People that were in debt. People that were deceased. People that had various kind of D's in them. They gathered to him. People, almost in quotes, if you could put it, worthless men. That seemed to be worthless. But what happened? It was part of the process because those same men, God was teaching him how to take people from nothing and turn them into leaders before he got to the palace. Because later on, the Bible says those same men were called mighty men. Yeah, from Adullam, he went through the wilderness. You know what the wilderness is? There's lack in the wilderness. And then you went to Ziklag, you went to Hebron. Listen to me. Every stage was preparing him for the kingship God had prepared for him. The kingship was his breakthrough. Listen to me. You are already anointed, but you are not ruling yet. But what you are going through is preparing you for rulership. Oh, you need to get this. You are on training in order to reign in life. But it's part of the process. Let me. You see, what you're going through is essential for the breakthrough God wants to bring your way. The third thing, quickly, is you need power. So the first thing is what?
Partners.
Second thing? Process. Number three, you need power. 2 Kings 19:3. Quickly. You need power for your breakthrough. You need power for your breakthrough. Get this. The Bible says in the book of 2 Kings 19:3. Are you there? 2 Kings 19:3. The Bible says, and they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. He says, the children had come to the time of their birth. They had come to the time of their breakthrough. They were on the verge of their breakthrough, but they needed something, one last push, but they didn't have the strength. You see, when you lose power at a critical time, you know, a lot of people, it is when they are on the verge that they give up. A lot of people give up at the point when they are about to break through in life. A lot of people give up. You know, we always talk about the person that invented the light bulb. But, you know, he kept on going. He never gave up. You need the strength. You need, you know, when it says that they came to the time of birth and there was no strength to bring forth, it means that there's a possibility that at the point when you're about to break through, if you don't have the strength, you will not give. When a woman is in the place of labor, one of the things that the midwife tries to ensure is that they preserve or conserve their strength for the right time. Why do they do that? Because if they push or if they get tired before the baby comes out, they put the baby's life at risk. Am I making sense? So you sometimes hear the midwife telling a woman in labor that, hey, don't push yet. Conserve your energy. Take it easy. And things like that. Why? Because there's a time that you need that strength. The scripture we read earlier about David that was in battle, and he says he got weary. Now, get this. He got weary. He was tired. If not for his partner, he may have died. You need power. The power to push through. I said earlier, you know, there was at one of the meetings I had with our leaders some months ago. I was sharing that with them that there is the danger of resting before time. People that rest before they ought to rest, they lose the benefits that should have been given to them. And sometimes Christians, we rest when we should not be resting. Let me move on quickly. Number four, pain. Pain, P-A-I-N. Now, nobody likes pain. I don't like pain. I am allergic to pain. But I've come to realize that pain is required to break through. You know, when we were growing up, I don't know. Do they give injections in this country? They do. Okay, I've never received an injection. In my country, when I was growing up, anything wrong with you, they bring out a needle and give injection. Anything you have like this, before you know it. And I remember when I was growing up, the minute I see that needle like this, I start crying. But you know what? As much as I cry, the ailment, that pain of the injection is necessary for that ailment, to be resolved. In fact, I understand that injections tend to work faster than tablets and all those things. So that the pain, that pain, for me to break through and be healthy again, you need to go through that pain. But a lot of us are like me. The minute we see the needle, and it used to take a struggle to keep me there. If I had my way, hey, I'm out of that door. But you see, there's nobody to hold us down because we are adults. So what tends to happen is when we see that pain, a lot of us were out of through the door. And we don't realize that, hey, I need to get that pain of the needle in order to get the healing, in order to get the breakthrough, in order to fulfill my destiny. You see, pain is part and parcel of your breakthrough. A pregnant woman that decides that I don't want to go through the pain of labor, but I want a child. Now, I used to think that with epidural that you don't feel any pain, but I understand that you still feel it. So, whichever way, there is the pain of labor. I mean, there's reduced pain because I've heard some people say, you know, the supernatural childbirth and, you know, they don't really have too much pain. But there's still a bit of pain one way or the other. I reckon, I assume. Well, I can only assume. What was the film that, was it Arnold Schwarzenegger gave birth? What was that film again? Twins, was it twins? Silly film. You know, things that will never happen. Anyway, to birth your destiny, listen to it. To birth your destiny, you need to go through the pain of prayer. You need to go through the pain of fasting. You need to go through the pain of sleepless nights. You need to go through the pain of waiting on God. If you want to birth your destiny, if you want to birth anything substantial, you'll find out that you go through a certain kind of pain. Listen to me. To have a successful marriage, you go through the pain of laying down your life for your spouse. You know that there's a pain in keeping quiet when you want to talk. There is a pain. There are times that, hey, something happens and I'm like, and the Holy Spirit. There's a pain. And you are thinking, oh Lord, Holy Spirit, let me. But there's a pain. Even in church, there are times that people say certain things or do certain things. And I was like, God bless you. And on this side, I'm sitting, there's a pain. But it's part of the birthing process. Am I making sense? And you see, the thing is, a lot of us, a lot of people want a breakthrough, but don't want to go through the pain. You see, if you're going to get oil from the ground, you need to go through the pain of digging. In order to get oil, you do what? Dig. And there's a pain in digging. Looking at the life of Joseph, you find out that Joseph went through a lot of pain in his life. He went through a lot of pain in his life before he got to the palace. He started with the pain of rejection. In the book of Genesis chapter 37 verse 8, the Bible says that, you know, when he had a dream, he was so happy, he went to share it with his father, went to share it with his mother, went to share it with his brothers. And when he got his brothers, said, oh, You mean you rule over us? Who makes you think you rule over us? The pain of rejection, the pain of, hey, envy, that these people are envious of me. And then after that, he went through the pain of betrayal. So, when they threw him into the pit, I tried to imagine the kind of pain that these are my brothers. I mean, the Bible doesn't tell us whether he overheard when they were discussing that they should kill him. Or, you know, when they said, oh, don't care, Judas said, oh, we shouldn't kill him, let us. We don't know if, but I was just trying to imagine that. I wonder if he overheard them. And you can try to imagine the pain of betrayal. The pain of betrayal of being sold by his own brother's blood. Blood. My blood. I don't know if you've ever been betrayed by a friend, a close friend or anything. That pain. And then later on, he went through the pain, the pain of injustice. In Genesis 39, 20, when Potiphar threw him into prison for a crime he did not commit, he must have had pain in him, but I did not do it. You know, one of the painful things sometimes is when you're accused of what you did not do. That there's a pain. And then I can imagine he experienced the pain of disappointment. Genesis 40, 23, when the chief butler forgot about him. In Genesis 40, 23, it says something. It says that, but the chief butler did not remember him and forgot about him. And for about 2 years, he remained in prison. Now, imagine the pain. Because when the chief butler went out, was released, he must have thought, just a matter of days. Days turned into weeks. Weeks into months. Months into turned into 1 year. 2 years. The pain of the disappointment. That, hey, what I... And he promised. But you know what? Pain is part of the process. The pain he went through prepared him for the palace. David experienced a lot of pain as well between the time he was anointed and became king. I will not go through all that. But you know what happens with a lot of people? When we go through pain in the process of giving birth, in the process of breaking through, in the process of birthing something God has put on our inside, do you know what we tend to do? In order to numb that pain, and because we don't want to feel the pain, a lot of us try to succumb to various other things. So we run away from the pain by sleeping. We run away from the pain by eating, by doing comfort things that will make us feel better. So it's like somebody that you know that may be trying to lose weight, I remember watching a documentary, and they were talking about a certain lady that had issues with her self-esteem, you know, low self-esteem and everything. And what she used to do was binge eat, you know, and it used to give her a comfort factor in eating. Whereas, instead of dealing with the pain of, hey, let me sort out this self-esteem issue, she was trying to numb the pain and take it away. But sometimes, you know, we need to go through the pain. Last thing, quickly, and I'll finish with this, is that you need pace. You need to understand something. Whatever you are believing God for, whatever breakthrough you require now, it is not the end. You know, one thing I've realized is that at every stage, we need a breakthrough in one area or the other. Some people, their breakthrough they require now is in marriage. When they get married, finding a spouse. When they get married, they will need a breakthrough in their marriage, that Lord, let this marriage be successful. When they get whatever, then it will be a breakthrough in childbirth. And when they have that, then it will be a breakthrough in career. After career, it will be business. After business, it will be one thing or the other. But it is a marathon. You know, and you know, when you want to run a marathon, what do? You don't start off by running very fast. You pace yourself for the whole journey. You are maintaining a steady pace. You know, a steady pace. At some times, you may need to run faster. Sometimes you need to slow down. But there's a pace you are meeting. And what happens? You see, people that are experienced will understand that, hey, I need to pace myself. The issue I'm facing today, tomorrow is history. For somebody facing an immigration problem, another 2-3 years' time, it's not an issue. Somebody facing challenges of believing God for a child, another 2-3 years or a year, no longer an issue. By then, you're even saying, God, I've had enough. When they say child, no, we stopped. Whereas prior to that, it was like breakthrough in child. You know, you need to pace yourself. If you look at a woman that is in labor, what the midwife does is helps them to pace themselves. You know, she needs to know when to push, when to rest. They actually teach, you know, one of the things I found out is that they teach pregnant women how to breathe. So they say, I don't know how to do it. No. You know, that they need to do it somehow. In between, you know, they are teaching them how to breathe, pace themselves. Why? Because if they just puff. You know, if you puff and you don't push, all you're doing is just blowing hot air. And by the time you really need to push, you get tired. So a lot of people, what they are doing is, when they ought to be taking it easy, they are puffing. Then when it gets to the time when they are on the verge of their breakthrough, because they are tired, they don't have the strength to push. Since they've used all their energy to puff. You know, there's a difference between puffing and pushing. Hallelujah. Let's rise up and pray. Amen.